Hello and welcome to Chasing the Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Lynn Holver, a digital nomad, world traveler, dreamer, and lover of life. Currently, I'm a social media marketer, a freelancer, and I'm totally obsessed with inspiring other women to dream bigger and live bolder. Each week, I'll be featuring women who have successfully created location-independent lifestyles that give them the freedom to live life on their own terms, and how you can do the same. My goal is to show you that your dreams are possible and how much opportunity you have to not only create an income online, but also to make a real difference. So, if you're ready to start living a life that excites you by learning from others who have already done it, then you're in the right place. Are you ready? Let's go. Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to another show. So, kicking off with the new year, I thought it would be really cool to start featuring more women who are location independent but are not entrepreneurs. So, I've talked about this in previous episodes, but the top three ways to become location independent is either by becoming a freelancer, an online entrepreneur, or a remote employee. And so, I just happened to connect with a lot of entrepreneurs and freelancers and stuff, but I wanted to bring on more remote employees because I think it could still benefit a lot of people if you don't want to have your own online business, but still get a remote job and have that location freedom. Being a remote employee is amazing. It's what I am as well. And yeah, I thought it would be really cool to bring on different people who work full time for different companies. So with that being said, here is the guest I have on today. Her name is Darlene, and she is originally from New Jersey. She's transplanted her way over to Florida. She comes from a Portuguese family, and since she moved to Florida, she wanted to be able to travel back and forth whenever she wanted to and not have to worry about being tied down to a local job, which makes total sense. The best way to do that was by finding a remote job. So this past April, which that's kind of a long time. It's January now that we're recording. So last April, she was able to have her dream come true and found a job with a company called Team Snap. Snap has a widely distributed team, as we'll talk about more in the episode. And with that company, she works as a customer experience onboarding specialist. So basically, she works with new clients and teaches them how to use their software. So I'm really excited for you to hear Darlene's story. And if you're interested in becoming a remote employee, know that there's tons of opportunities out there. And I hope you get value from this episode. So with that being said, here we go. Hi, Darlene. If you could just give us a little bit more of an idea about you and previous work experience or anything like that that kind of led you to the remote journey that you're on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually majored in college. I went to Fairleigh Dickinson in New Jersey, my lovely alma mater. I majored in marketing. There wasn't anything too special. I just didn't really know what to do. And marketing to me was just a basic business degree to get. And then I ended up getting my master's. I just went straight to get my MBA. So I got my MBA in international business and entrepreneurship. So that's where it really started. I really wanted to be on my own when I started thinking about entrepreneurship from there. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really start from there. I did get a job, and that job actually intrigued my travel more. I worked at a semiconductor company working as a marketing coordinator right off of college. And with that position, they actually had me travel all over the world. So that's where it really intrigued me. Just as a background in that, but right before I even started, they sent me off to Singapore. So yeah. That's where like my travel bug really hit. Although I've traveled before because my parents are from Portugal, so I've traveled there before and I've traveled with them various places, that's where really it hit me that year. I've traveled to Asia that year multiple times. I went to Europe multiple times, and I went over to the West Coast from the East Coast multiple times as well. So my travel bug hit hard. I probably was traveling 1 to 2 countries every month in that company. So it was really nice. From there, fortunately, they had to do layoffs in my marketing departments always get laid off first, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So then from there, I went on to working for a company called On Campus Marketing, OCM for short. Some U.S. schools might have heard of them before because they do make bed linens and care packages for universities and colleges here for the U.S. But I also did travel for them. I traveled domestically for them. So again, my travel bug kept going on the next one, next company I worked for. But I worked for them for almost 5 years. I did in turn work for an airline. I worked for a Portuguese airline in between. So I did a lot of traveling with work.
Yeah, a lot of travel jobs. Yeah.
Yes, which I loved. Yeah. But then I got to a point, this is actually back when I was in OCM, I was thinking about doing remote year, which I don't know if you've heard of that
before. Me too. It's funny. I actually applied for them. Yeah, I actually applied for my position. But I love remote year. I wanted to do that too. Yeah,
I wanted to do it. But then I met my wonderful boyfriend and realized how much I wanted to settle down. I wanted to travel with him, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But then I realized although I might not want to actually travel as much, I still wanted the remote job because it really intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
So I started actually looking two, three years ago. So I started thinking about it more and I started looking and realizing I didn't have credentials for it.
Mm-hmm.
The job that I used to work, although I did travel a lot, they didn't really have the remote capabilities that they did didn't really work well. I didn't use any of the remote tools like Slack or Zoom. I didn't even know how to use Zoom. It was, you know, I just thought I needed more. I needed more experience. And I needed more independent, to be more independent. And the job that I had, my manager was really, he was just always over me. And I didn't like that. So I needed more independent. So I actually then moved up to Boston, where I got a job at HubSpot. And that's where I actually learned the remote lifestyle. Although they're not a remote company, they were really developing a remote mentality. And that really helped me grow a lot. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed, because I started looking for remote jobs, I knew I needed more experience and that really helped me a lot. I was able to manage my own schedule, which was very helpful. I was able to, they use Zoom, they use Slack, they use all of the remote things that you can think of. If I worked from home a couple days, it was just like I was in the office, and that's exactly what I love. But they were not so much that they wanted to be full-time remote, and that's what exactly what I was looking for. But I stayed there for about a year because I did want to get the experience, and I learned a ton. I learned how to work with a manager that really trusted me, and that really changed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to just learn a lot from them. From there, I did start applying, and my manager there was also very helpful because he knew I was actually applying for positions, and he even said he would give me a recommendation, which you don't have a lot of companies. So he was very helpful in that. My main reason for, at that point, looking as I wanted to move to Florida. I had in my mind that I can't do winter weather anymore. I was like, forget this. I feel that. I'm going down to Florida. And the other thing was that I wanted to spend more time with my family. Being up in Boston, I felt very detached from them, even though I was only a few hours away. Having moved down to Florida, my parents are actually, I live in their vacation home, so I can
save up.
So I could save up to get a house.
Yeah.
But my parents eventually want to retire down here, so I said, why not? I've actually seen more of my family now living in Florida than I ever did in Boston. Further away from them.
That's hilarious.
So it's because they actually want to come to the warm weather. So
yeah.
So with that in mind, I had a goal of trying to find a remote job by April. That's when I was moving down. By mid-March, I was already not going to have my job at HubSpot at the end of April. So I was moving down here at the beginning of April regardless. My manager allowed me to work remotely if I needed to for a full month while I was trying to find a job.
That's nice. Yeah.
But mid-March, I still didn't have a position until I finally got a call from Team Snap mid-March, and they let me start mid-April. So,
that's amazing.
Very lucky. So I worked 2 weeks with HubSpot remotely, and then Team Snap. It was a difficult journey. It took me at least 3-4 months of heavily looking. I did get help from someone, from Taylor, to assist me with it. And it was quite a journey, but I'm glad that I took every step that I did.
So. Yeah, and you're glad that you stuck it out, definitely.
Yes,
you have it, and you're like, okay, well, I can see it was worth it, and you met your goal and everything like that of working remotely when you wanted to. So that's so good. One thing I wanted to ask you when you were talking about what you studied in school, you said you got your MBA in business and entrepreneurship. Is that what you said, right?
International business, yeah.
International business and entrepreneurship. Okay. Did you originally want to have your own business and company, or is there a reason that you decided to go with that?
I did at one point. I was in my mid 20s. I thought anything was possible, to be honest, in my early 20s.
I love that.
I learned a lot in my courses, though, so it taught me a lot. Even if I was never going to pursue my own business, it was still a good degree to get.
Yeah. Okay. I guess the reason I asked that is because I feel like the remote work lifestyle is like this weird balance between being an entrepreneur but not being an entrepreneur. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I guess it's because you have so much control over your day-to-day and you're able to, like, set your own schedule. I don't know. I just feel like people who are entrepreneurial-spirited or have, you know, that ambitious or Kickstarter mentality, I guess, I feel like they would really thrive in the remote work field if they didn't want to have their own business, or if they wanted to in the future or whatever.
Yeah, you really do need to have that mentality. You need to be able to go someplace and focus. You can't just, I actually have like a separate area in my house that I come to work in just so I have like, okay, this is work.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to have that sort of mentality. I've read a lot of remote jobs, their job description, you need to have an entrepreneurial mind, or even like you have to have that drive to be able to.
Yeah, you do.
There's not someone here telling you what to do.
Right.
You know, although I have a manager I report to, I have people that I report to, but they're not here looking at me every day to make sure that I work.
They work. So you can't be lazy. And it's like, once you get that lifestyle, like you can't just be like, okay, I got the job, now I'm good. Like you have to work so much harder to like prove yourself and prove that you're capable of doing it and you're able to get all your work done, or else you're going to lose what your dream was. So
yeah.
Okay. So I'm just going to focus on Team Snap. So first, can you talk about what exactly Team Snap is, maybe just like a brief overview of the company and your position, and then kind of the steps you took to actually find it. Maybe you can talk about, like, we can split that up, but I'm going to like have you talk about the company, because that's a lot. But yeah, talk about the company first, and then we can kind of go into like the process for what it was like for you to actually land a full-time remote job and everything.
Yeah. So Team Snap is actually a sports organization communication app. So essentially, if you work at a sports organization like a league or a club or a rec league, they have different teams within there. So essentially what Team Snap does is that we have two sides to our product. We have the team side and the sports org side. I work on the sports org, but I also kind of sort of work with the team side, but mainly sports org. So essentially you have the sports org at the very top that then has teams underneath them. So essentially the sports organization organizes everything within their organization. I'm kind of repeating myself a little bit. And then like you have the teams that then like you have the coaches and the managers that want to use the app to communicate with their players and the parents. And that's the main focus of it. What I do on my side is that I work with the sports orgs and the leagues to make sure that they're running their league the way that they want through registration. They collect payments. Like that's the stuff that I work with them on how to actually do all that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So is the whole team remotely, the whole company work remotely, or what's that look like?
We're not a fully distributed company. We're mostly distributed is what they call it. They have an office in Colorado, in Boulder, Colorado.
I did read that. Okay.
But it's mainly because the CEO is from that area. But the co-founder, which was the co-founder with the CEO, actually lives in Oregon. So that's why they actually developed the remote lifestyle. Because he actually lives out in Oregon. So they actually kind of just there's no point of having just everyone in the office and their mentality. So they've always had that remote lifestyle. So my I have my manager, my colleague, both live in Colorado. It just happens to be that way.
Yeah.
But I have, and where I came from a different department because I transitioned from customer support over to onboarding. But there I had someone who lived in Oregon and my manager actually lived in Idaho. So we're kind of like all over the place. And yeah. then I actually had another colleague who lives in Philadelphia. So we're just all over the place.
Yeah. Well, it shows that it can work. And that's what I think is so cool, because I feel like a lot of people don't really understand the whole concept of having a remote company. Even though more companies are embracing it, it's still, I think a lot of people think that it won't work or people won't be productive or anything like that. So it's cool to hear that everyone is all spread out, or a lot of people are spread out.
Yeah. Even previously, when I worked at HubSpot, like I said, we use a lot of the remote tools, and I would be in my desk and talking to people like on different floors, and I would never meet them.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. Yeah.
It's kind of like I got used to that. And now it's just like when I'm here, it's no different. I'm right. just like, hey, I could be just in the office building and there, I just don't see.
That's how it is with so many people. If you're sitting at your desk during the day, maybe you have like different meetings with people in your department, or I don't know, but you're, for the most part, you're sitting in your desk. So it's like, yeah. I feel like a lot of people, like you can realize, or if people realize that, it's really not that crazy of a concept when you think about it, because.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And then really quick, you don't have to like go into all the specifics, but I think like another interesting thing that I think a lot of people have a hard time understanding is like when it comes to salary and benefits and everything, I think people automatically assume that all of the remote jobs are really low paying with no benefits, or you're just stuck with freelance or anything like that. Do you get benefits and everything? Is it comparable to what a full-time job would be in an office?
So I went from a renewal management position that paid very high, that's kind of like a sales position, to a customer support. So I did get a pay cut because of the position I got.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think about that. But if I compare HubSpot's customer support versus my customer support, I make the same amount if I would have done there or there, you know.
Yeah.
So, because I knew how much they make there. And I can't compare based off of what I made, because I kind of got a different type of position.
Right.
That's the only difference.
Right.
As far as benefits, I have full benefits.
Yeah.
I don't pay for my medical coverage or my boyfriend's. He's actually considered a domestic partner and they pay for it.
Wow, that's amazing. And you were telling me before this that you got a free laptop from the company.
Yes, yes. So I got a laptop, I got a monitor, they gave me a keyboard, a mouse, they gave me a lot of stuff.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was.
Yeah. So I have 401k, I have full benefits. For me and my boyfriend, I have, you know, anything you can think of. I have unlimited PTO, which is another perk.
Yeah.
So people, it's not, even my parents thought the same thing, like, oh, you're not going to get the same benefits and anything. I actually, if anything, I have better than what I had before. Mm-hmm. So, like that, you know, you can get the same exact benefits if you worked as an office job.
It's, right. Yeah. And that's, I think like that's the bottom line is, you know, the salary, if you're basing it by the actual job title and the job description and everything, salaries from everything that I've seen are comparable. Like they would be the same for most companies, remote and benefits and everything. So I just think like I was talking to my parents about it and they were just so surprised that companies actually offer benefits. So I'm like, it's the same, it's just a company, you know, they're just choosing to structure it differently. But I just, I don't know. I like to get that point across to people.
If I ever did commute to the office, they do also have commuter benefits, but I don't use them. So, they still have like offer benefit, like additional benefits for in office, but I don't need it. So,
okay, cool. Awesome. So, all right. So now moving over a little bit to how you actually got this role. I really like to give like practical tips that people can use. So if people are feeling lost, like I don't even know where to start, what was it like for you to actually go through the process of
finding remote jobs, knowing that they were available for you and like going through all the steps and everything?
Yeah. The process was I'm not going to lie, it was overwhelming. But like I said, I started before I even got my job at HubSpot. And at that point I was looking for maybe a year and nothing was sticking. And that's when I realized that I needed more experience or maybe something that did offer more remote capabilities, the software that I used for what I did for my previous job before then was not like companies just never heard of them because we were just very old school. So with that, I had to make the shift. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get there. I just need to do one step before that,
Yeah.
So I decided to take that step back and get another in-office job where I can get more remote skills. Okay. So I did. So my whole point of going to Boston and going up to HubSpot was really to help me prepare to what a remote lifestyle would be.
That's so smart though. That's seriously so smart because you had like your end goal, but weren't afraid of the time process. Like you were committed to the process.
Yeah. So everyone thought I was crazy to do that. But I said, no, I need to do this.
Yeah.
And even when I first started there, I started still researching remote opportunities. And then I came across Remote Like Me community group, and realized that I really need help. I can't do it on my own. And at that point I reached out to Taylor and she did talk to me about like my resume and everything like that. I completely transformed my resume. My resume was a black and white resume. It was the most disgusting thing ever. So Taylor, I used to talk to her about it all the time. And then once she gave me some tips and told me like what to do, my resume became like this beautiful colored one-page resume I've never seen before. I've actually received so many comments on my resume because of it.
Wow.
But it helped me. But at that time, when I did make my resume, I still wasn't ready yet. So this was probably sometime in the summer. And I told Taylor, listen, I need to wait till I get closer to when I'm 1 year into this job. Because I didn't want to leave the job right away. I was like, I need at least 1 year's one year experience. That's what I did. So got closer to December. I reached out to her and I was like, all right, I'm ready. Full on. That's what I did. So I signed up with her one-on-one program. I'm not going to lie, I didn't do it by myself because it's very hard to do by myself.
Oh, I didn't either. Yeah. I hired Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah. So I needed some help. And I worked with her one-on-one. She told me exactly what I needed to do. We applied to many jobs. She was reaching out to me with every job left and right. Now, how I landed with Team Snap, I can't exactly tell you how it was just one of those companies I applied for.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice it was for customer experience. One thing before that, I was looking for, I wasn't really looking for a customer support job.
Okay.
I was looking for more customer success management jobs because that's the experience I had in account management. And then I also was looking at that point for marketing jobs because my background was in marketing. I started in marketing. I was like, this would be a good time to transition into something new. That said, I started seeing like people just kept saying I didn't have enough experience. I'm like, how much more experience do I need?
Right.
So I was like, I need to get my foot in the door somewhere. And that's where I was like, let me try customer support. And I kind of knew I was going to get some sort of pay cut because it's not the same exact level. I didn't want to get a pay cut, but I knew I had to.
Right.
Or at least I didn't have to. It's just because of the feedback I was receiving. I was like, I need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Team Snap came on. I ended up looking and I was like, okay. And they told me what the pricing range was. And I was like, that great, but I went forward with it. Taylor was kind of telling me like, you shouldn't go lower. But I ended up finding out they had a lot more benefits than I was receiving. The perks itself was more than what I would think that I would get.
Yeah.
And when I was interviewing with the people, that's when it really, made a difference to me.
Mm.
I really loved talking to my colleagues because they actually had me talk to two people within my team. Mm-hmm. They were not any decision makers whatsoever. It was just fun talking to them. I can really see how they really embrace the remote lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I loved that about them. I'm not going to lie to you. I also was in the running for Buffer. I don't know if you've heard of them. I was actually in an interviews with them at the same time as Team Snap. I was really hoping to get the Buffer one.
Yeah.
I actually made it to the final interviews with Buffer, which is unheard of. Taylor's like, I've never heard anyone get so far. I was like, I don't even know. I just did it.
How many rounds are there?
There was a ton of rounds. Even I think it was the same as Team Snap. I had like 4 or 5 rounds.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was about the same. And the unfortunate part was that they said it was between me and some other girl. And the unfortunate part is they went with the other girl. Not unfortunate for her, but for me it was.
Yeah, yes.
They went with the other one because she had more experience with Buffer. And that's where I think is very important. You need to make sure you do have experience with the app. Yeah. The one thing with Team Snap, they told me that they will teach me everything I need to know about it. And I tell you, I know this app inside and out, and I don't want to, but I do. And I've been here for what, 6, 7 months? No, I've been 8 months. So
is that it? Okay.
Yeah. It's honestly the best thing I've ever done. I did decide, you know, eventually I did go with Team Snap because they did give me an offer. So, and I did negotiate my offer because they wanted to offer me something lower. So don't be afraid to negotiate as well.
Yeah.
It was something huge that Taylor did teach me, which I already kind of knew because my previous role was in negotiation anyway, because I was a renewals manager. So I was like, oh, no worries. I'm going to negotiate with them.
Yeah.
So I definitely did. So I'm happy that I did because or else I wouldn't be making what I'm making now. So
Yeah.
That was my journey.
Yeah, that's all. And you said that took what, 3 to 4 months? Is that what the time?
When I was actively looking, yes.
You were actively looking.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's something that I wanted to like go over is like the time process for finding a remote job, because I think a lot of people get discouraged very quickly because you hear no a lot. But it's like it's almost like a numbers game, or it's like you just have to like keep in perspective the amount of time it'll take. If you're looking at it realistically, I would say 3 to 6 months is a realistic time frame. I mean, for most people, I would say.
And that's like actively, like really looking, applying almost every day of the week. That's reaching out to people. I reached out to people on LinkedIn. I was following people on Twitter. Whole thing with Buffer, I was trying to get on the good side. I watched, I think Courtney Setter was featured in some remote work summit. So I watched her piece to try to get a conversation with her started, and she loved that I watched it. Just doing things like that, and getting yourself through the interview process helps tremendously.
Yeah.
You know, heavily researching the company. It took a lot of time. Like it's almost like another full-time job. I would come home from work and I'd just be all about applying for jobs. And I, you know, because I had this goal in my mind, I'm like, I have to.
Yeah.
Nothing is stopping me now. So.
Oh, that's amazing. And you did it. And that's what's cool. It's like you set a goal and you hit it. And now you're able to do it. That's awesome. Okay, so just switching gears a little bit, I kind of want you to talk about how this, like, the remote work lifestyle has changed your life is a little bit, like, that sounds cliche, but how it's really, like, changed a lot of things for you, or, like, what kind of things are you able to do now that you feel like you weren't able to do in previous jobs?
Yeah, it's definitely provided me, the major thing is a lot of flexibility. I think that's always a huge word when you hear remote jobs, flexibility.
Flexibility.
Yes. The reason why I say that is that to be, like, I'm home right now. I'm seriously right now in my office and my, you know, and I'm doing this, you know, this would be just, if I was just in a regular meeting at home or just at work, this is what I would do. I'd be in a call like this. It does allow for a lot more flexibility. I do have a flexibility with my schedule. If something, say for instance, actually the other day, something happened with my car, because I had a remote job, I'm able to just quickly go to the mechanic and come back to work real quick.
Yeah.
Street, so. I don't use my car as often, but you know, I still need it to do things.
Yes.
But that's just something else, you know. My boyfriend and I were just discussing the other day if something were to happen with our dog, because I do have a dog as well, a lovely Belgian Malinois, which I love.
Oh, so cute.
If something were to happen to him, I can easily, like, I'm home, so I can easily take care of him or take him somewhere if I want to, you know. I do work with clients, which is a little more difficult, so I do have to, like, work my schedule around them a little bit, but it's not like I have to take away family time because I have to talk to a client. It's just like, oh, I'm going to go to my office real quick, give me 30 minutes and I'll be back, and then I'm back to, you know, being with the family.
Yeah, that's amazing. Really,
you know, I had a client that was actually from Singapore, so we had to work around schedule. So essentially what happens is that I probably cut my day by 2 hours because I was going to work 2 extra hours working with them. And then I went to the gym, you know, I'm just going to go to the gym now. And then I came back, took my shower, and then I did my call with them. You know, it's kind of like the flexibility like that. I don't have a physical office to go to, whereas, like, previously, if I wasn't in the office, no, I'm not working, you know.
Right.
That's also something I got to set by myself, a little boundary. But that's why having an office separate from the rest of the house helps. So this is like not, you know, I'm in a guest room technically. So, yeah. It does help having it separate. So you keep that lifestyle separate from that.
Or else you'll feel like you'll never take work, or you'll feel
exactly.
Always with you.
Like, I have colleagues that I see them work from a couch and I'm just like, how can you do that? I can't do that.
But that's because I feel like you can never put it away. That's definitely a downside when you feel when your laptop's always there, you feel like you can never get away
from
it. Yeah. If you don't set that.
Yeah, and that's one thing I try not to do. If I'm on the couch, if I'm in the kitchen, or if I'm somewhere else, and like I said, on the opposite side of the house, that's family time. That's time away from work. If I do bring my laptop out there, it's because I'm looking up personal stuff, not because I'm doing work.
Right.
If I go back on my laptop, I remove all work-related stuff if it's after hours, meaning I close Slack, I close my work email, I don't open it. I just do whatever I need to do that's personal if I'm, you know, outside of work.
Yeah.
But, like, I came back on here on my computer and I went back on Slack and I'm like, no, I shouldn't go on Slack.
Oh, can't do that.
Yeah. So there is a downside and an upside, but for me, it's definitely offered a lot of flexibility. I actually been able to, cause I live in Florida, but I do have flown up a few times up to New Jersey to see family, and I've been able to just work from there. Like, if nothing has happened.
I love that.
Yeah. I do actually have a colleague that's going to be doing remote year. So.
Oh, really? That's exciting.
Yeah. So she's doing that, which I'm going to be living vicariously through her.
Yeah.
But, like, our job does allow for that. Right. So,
I can't get over, like, the flexibility of this lifestyle. And I'm like, I feel like, I mean, I know I'm relatively young, and for the remote work field, I feel like I'm probably one of the younger ones, but I'm like, I feel like I've already, like, now that I've experienced this, I can never go back to, you know, an office. I mean, maybe I could one day, like, I don't know, maybe things will change, but now that I know, like, how much flexibility I can have, and, like, I do have, like, I can't imagine living my lifestyle another way.
I just had a colleague the other day that she said that she's been working remotely for 9 years. I'm like, no, it's, I guess you don't, once you go remote, you don't go back.
You can't go back. I'm so convinced. Like, I'm, people have asked me if I'm going to, like, go back, you know, to work in the office or just, like, to work in a physical location. I'm like, I mean, maybe, but I just don't see myself doing it. But I mean, I guess anything could happen, but I feel like I don't want to now that I have this, like.
I have people that ask me that all the time too. And I'm just like, nope, never. I don't think I can. Like, it's more difficult on my family to understand it. So I do have, like, family that live here as well. And they just think they can call me up or show up at my house whenever they want. I'm like, no, I'm working. I have client calls. You can't just show up.
You're free. We know you're free.
Yeah. And it's just, now they've gotten used to it because they're like, okay, no, she works. She can't count. Like,
right.
But it took them a while to understand, like, oh, you're actually working. Like, yeah, I have an off office. Like, I'm not just like doing nothing.
What's a company? Let's look them up. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's funny. Okay, so my last big question is one of my favorites. So I always ask the guests that come on the show what freedom means to them. Obviously, the show is called Chasing the Freedom. So I just like to hear what freedom means to everyone, because it's going to be different for every person. So what does it mean to you right now?
It's a very good question. What freedom means to me is really being able to do what I want when I want. That's probably, I guess, the basic definition of freedom, right?
Yeah.
But essentially that means that I'm, if something were able to ever to come up, that I need to be somewhere, I can be there. Mm-hmm. If I ever wanted to do something for myself, I can do it. Mm-hmm. No comment. If I ever wanted, even at work, if I wanted to help out somebody or move away from one project to work on another, I can still do that, you know, without having a consequence of leaving stuff behind. You know, that's what really freedom means to me. I believe I'm chasing it as much as I can, you know, and
yeah.
Captured it.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. And it took me a while to get here. Even when I was up in Boston, I was not chasing freedom. I was chasing the train back and forth. So to get to and from work. So to me, that wasn't even freedom. That was just like, I really had to rely on other things, and I hated that. Now I don't have to. I can wake up, I work at 8 in the morning here. I can wake up 7:55 if I want to and not have to worry about having to chase some sort of commute going out somewhere to work, you know. That to me is freedom. Even if I'm like, say for instance, I'm not 100 ready for work at 8 a.m., that's okay. I can turn on my computer and I can go back into wherever I need to go. I can go into my kitchen and do whatever I need to do and then come back.
Yeah.
That's what really freedom is to me. Like being able to do what I want when I want.
I love that. And I like how you added at the beginning, you said being able to do what I want when I want without consequences. I really like how you added the without consequences, because that just puts a whole different spin on it. Awesome. Okay. So last question, Darlene, if someone's listening to you and maybe has like more questions about, I don't know, a remote job or maybe your industry, or more questions about Team Snap or any more like tips or anything that you have, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I'm always available on Facebook. Okay. You can also reach me via LinkedIn. LinkedIn has more of my like business background. I have a lot of connections in LinkedIn.
Okay.
So if somebody ever wants to connect with me, or just wants to get a connection through me, that's fine. If they want it, that, you know, I think I have like over 500. I don't even know. I lost count.
Wow. Yeah,
I just kept connecting people.
I know. Do you get like random people adding you and you're just like, I don't know you, but I mean, I guess like it's business. Like I'll accept. I don't know. I feel like I get random people adding me on LinkedIn.
Sometimes I did, but I also have connections because of HubSpot. A lot of my colleagues had connections with other companies because they were their clients, and then I got connected with them. I also got connections through Buffer as well, because I was trying to get in with them. Yeah. I just have a ton of like first connections, because I was just one, every time I go into a new company, I just add those people, and I really broaden my community through HubSpot. So,
oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And even my clientele, I would try to be friends with them and connect. And then I was also trying to connect with everyone and anyone when I was trying to get remote jobs. So it really did.
And that's, I think,
I was applying to companies, and Taylor told me like reach out to people on LinkedIn, and I didn't realize I was first connections with people that I was applying to companies to. Like,
oh, that's interesting.
First connection with them. Let me do it. So yeah. Definitely they can connect with me on Facebook. I will, you know, just I will accept their friendship. Cool. Or they can reach out if they want to like talk to me personally, they can reach out to me on Facebook or Messenger as well.
Okay, cool. And I'll put your links to your accounts in the show notes. So if you guys want to reach out and ask her anything or whatever you want, you can find that in the show notes. And one more thing about what you were just saying about expanding your network and like reaching out to people. That is the most important tip that I've learned, is like networking is the biggest thing in the entire world. And that's something that I've learned through, yeah, the remote work culture, and just similar to you, like when I was like looking at different jobs and opportunities and everything like that, just trying to connect with as many people as possible. Like, you never know who's going to lead you to something. You never know who's going to be able to help you. And even if it's down the road, like, I just think that that's the most important thing, is just make connections with as many people as you can. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was so fun, and I'm glad you shared all of your experience with us, and you gave a lot of good tips and advice and everything. So
awesome. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Yes. All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon. And yeah, thanks again.